Elizabeth Evans, and I'm a homeschooling mom of four young kids. I'm figuring this out as I go, but I'm here to talk to Bonnie, who has been writing and speaking on the subject for over a decade and has been homeschooling for three decades.
My name's Bonnie Landry. I've got seven kids. They're ages 13 to 33. I've been homeschooling for 29 years. I'm a wife, a mom, a grandma. I'm a speaker and a writer, and I'm an advocate of joy. So we're here to provide this podcast so that homeschooling can look like you imagined it to be.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Enjoying your outside.
I am. Yes. I've been looking forward to podcasting outdoors. And so I'm hoping this will work for the next couple of months that I can just sit out here because it's so nice if my family's not too noisy.
Oh, there is always that.
You may hear a sprinkler go on in the back because we have one of those deer motion activated sprinklers.
Oh.
And so if the wind sometimes happens or a deer wanders through the yard, it'll just go. Hoping with the earbuds. That is a good question. I know you can get them that work with squirrels.
Yeah.
And squirrels aren't really a big problem here.
Oh my, we have.
Although
so
something
many.
Is eating my strawberries. So maybe squirrels are a bigger problem than I think. So yeah. I don't know what's eating my strawberries. So but they're here, taking bites out of it. So
here in Michigan, at least this part of Michigan, we have big squirrels. I mean, they're like the size of cats. They're huge. And they're not afraid. You can walk up to within like 2 or 3 feet of them and they will not move. Because like my son has charged at them, you know, to scare them off. And
right.
He gets really close and then he's kind of like, what do I do now?
No, we have deer and raccoons. Those are our primary pests. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, should I start asking some
questions?
Yeah,
let's go.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I thought I'd start off with kind of a really simple, easy question. Do you give your kids allowance and do you pay them to do things like around the house?
Oh, that's a great question. We've gone through some transitions. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously at my kids' age now, that's not really a thing, right? But we went through a few different phases in our early parenting years, really wondering if that was the thing to do. So basically, we had a couple of phases where we paid allowance and a couple of phases where we didn't. And, you know, I had some jobs. If they wanted to do different jobs, you could sort of get paid piecework, you know, if you sort of above and beyond what they were required to do, just helping around the house. And excuse me. In the end, what we decided was, what seemed to work best was that if we were going on a holiday, like some kids are more motivated by money than others. And I would say overall, my kids aren't that motivated by money. But if we were going on a holiday, we would say, okay, listen, we're not paying you a regular allowance, but we will give you spending money for the holiday. Okay. Or, you know, some event that was coming up. You know, but there's some extra things I'd like you to do around the house, okay, in order to sort of accomplish, you know, the things I need to get done and you guys earning some spending money. You know, how does that sound? So that was kind of where we ended up. And I can see, like, I can see allowance being a good thing. I could see it being a problematic thing. But there was just too, I don't know, for us, there was just sort of too many personalities and too many people motivated by different things that didn't really make it conducive to our family life.
So we
that's sort of how we ended up handling things. They did have to do chores though, you know, everybody had chores that they had to do. So, you know, but it was just part of the helping out around the house.
Right. So yeah. What are kind of like age appropriate chores?
That's a great question. Okay. I'm going to share with you my most successful management of chores that we ever came up with. And we did this for years and years and years. Okay. I'm a big advocate of Fly Lady. Are you familiar with Fly Lady?
No.
Okay. So she is a person who has written a book called Sink Reflections, and she helps you to find order in your home. Okay. And the way she helps you to do that, first of all, is by making it really, really clear that order, the purpose of order ultimately is so that the relationships in your home can be happier, you know, and and so that you can experience more joy in your day-to-day life. So that really resonated with me. And so I took a lot of her ideas and implemented them in my own life, and it was hugely successful because it was sort of baby steps. I had a bunch of kids when I came across her book. And so that was hugely successful for us. And so I was really grateful for that at that time in my life. And so some of the things that she suggested, I sort of adapted to our own life. So what we started was giving our kids an area that they needed to be in charge of. Okay, now the intent of the area wasn't so that they could give it a deep clean, mm-hmm. but to keep it tidy, okay? Because you know how you spend your whole life when you have little kids just tidying up your house all the time, right? Just picking up toys, picking up books, you know? And so what we did was, I probably implemented this when my oldest daughter was maybe, I don't know, 15 or something, but you could certainly be younger. And when our younger kids were coming up, we would partner them with an older child, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, here was my idea. When I started this idea, I thought what I would do is, like, every month I would switch the area. So the kids would, first of all, learn how to tidy an area and look after a particular area, but also so that kids could not get bored with the area that they're doing, okay? So what ended up happening in reality, though, was the kids got really efficient at their one area, and they didn't want to switch. So they would keep the same area for years. And then, you know, I would partner a younger child with them so that they would help them with their area and sort of mentor them, you know, because one day that child's going to leave home or get a job or whatever. And, you know, then we can implement the help of the smaller person who's now a bigger person. So basically, I looked at kind of the main areas that were the areas that needed picking up all the time, right?
Yeah.
Now, all of this said, by this time in my life, I had really, really, really reduced the clutter in my life, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't own things I don't use or love. So that's a really important part of being able to have order in your home. This is turning out to be a much bigger question than I imagined. It's impossible to gain order over clutter.
Right.
So getting rid of things is a really important part of the program. Okay. So basically what would happen is I had one child whose job was to tidy the living room. Mm-hmm. Another child whose job was to tidy the kitchen. Another child whose job was to tidy the laundry room. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we would do that a couple of times a day. So the main time I did it, that to me was the most important time, was if we were leaving the house, I would say, okay, give a quick tidy to your area. Like, I'm talking 2 or 3 minutes, mm-hmm. pick up the toys, pick up the books, pick up the socks, whatever's, you know. And so that we came home to a house that was reasonably tidy.
I love that. Because
that just was so discouraging.
Oh, for sure.
To go out for the day, have a nice time, and come home to a disaster, right?
Yeah.
Just no thank you. Yeah. And so that was, we did that for years and years. And then what happened when my girls all left home, you know, the structure of our family, I have 3 adult daughters now and then 3 sons and then my youngest is a daughter. And so when the girls all left home, it was, and I didn't have any little kids anymore, right? Lydia was, you know, whatever, 7 or 8 or whatever. So there's not the same amount of mess makers in the house.
Right.
So you don't require the same amount of helpers in the house, mm-hmm. right? And they were pretty good about, you know, looking after their own things. So once the girls left, I thought, okay, really it's dad who kind of needs more, more help in a sense on the things that he looks after in the house. We're very sort of have quite distinct, gender roles about you. These are the things you do and these are the things
right.
I do. It's mostly just because it's easier. And so basically how what that morphed into, not that long ago, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, that morphed into that on their school list, they had 20 minutes of work. And so that meant some point during the day, they would have to do, as part of their normal things they do every day, they would need to do some job, and it could be an outdoor job, it could be an indoor job, it could be stacking wood or cleaning out the car, or, you know, something that was more needful in the sense that it was easier for me to then keep on top of the actual housework, right? And there weren't the same number of messmakers in the house. So, so that worked really, really well. You know, and I mean, now, like with well, my sixth son is now, he's going off to college. So, but basically his job was to, you know, unload and reload the dishwasher whenever it needed it. And, you know, sweep or whatever, usually sort of that kind of stuff. And on Saturdays, help his dad with whatever he needed, mowing or stacking wood or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, so that's what it morphed into, was sort of your area to 20 minutes of work. And, you know, now Lydia's just helpful and looks after her stuff. And there's hardly anybody making messes in my house anymore. So,
Yeah. Well, I love the idea of an area. And I think
it was amazing.
I think it would help small kids, like my kids' age, take pride in something, you know, like keeping
that's what I was gonna say. Yeah. Clean. This was important to them. And they sort of took pride in that they could do it quickly and efficiently and they knew where everything went. And interestingly, what was I just gonna say? I lost my train of thought.
Taking pride in their work, that helps.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say something else, sorry, it'll come back to me. Yes, you know, they got really good at it, and it was just quick and efficient. So we would usually say do a cleanup maybe before dinner or just before bed, and we'd do a cleanup before we left the house, sometimes in the morning if we'd gone to bed and the house was still kind of a mess, but usually it was, you know, later in the day.
Yeah,
that was a really effective way of managing things.
Yeah, I love it. And I wonder if it could even be, you know, applied for families with younger kids. So like my oldest is only 8 and a half, you know, and so I wonder if they could have an area almost like in each room so that what they're managing is smaller, because I think like our living room is where all their toys and books are.
Yeah.
And if, you know,
so somebody is in charge of books, somebody's in charge of toys.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know like my 5-year-old will get really overwhelmed if I say, okay, we need to clean up, and he just falls into a puddle on the floor. Like, I can't, there's too much. And
And there's definitely some mentorship and encouragement and all that that needs to happen. Right. You know, so we can say, if they're young, we can say, okay, we're going to do this together. You do the books, I'll do the toys, you know, and sort of mentoring them, and then they grow into it. Right. Yeah. Oh, I know what I was going to say is that there was occasionally a complaint about like, okay, so-and-so always leaves his, you know, his jacket or his shoes or whatever in the living room, and the living room's my area, or, you know, so-and-so always leaves their stuff, you know, hanging over a chair in the kitchen. And so, you know, I sort of thought, okay, if it was unreasonable, an unreasonable amount of mess, I would say, okay, I'll ask them to tidy up that area. But usually I would say, well, you know, we all leave stuff places, you know, none of us are sort of perfect in this. And so, you know, if you know for sure you haven't left anything else lying around the house anywhere, you know, you've got a legitimate point, but I could probably find a couple of your things lying around the house. Yeah. So, you know.
Well, it's also act of service to your siblings. So.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they were really good about it.
Yeah. I'm going to have to start implementing that, because I think I like control, and, you know, to have things tidy and neat. And I feel like nobody can do as good of a job as I do. But then that usually means that I don't ask them for help, which these are skills they need to know how to help somebody out and how to help take care and take pride in, you know, a living space.
Exactly.
So I think I need to let go of the reins a little bit.
It's hard. And the younger they are, the harder it is, right? Yeah. I mean, I was really, sort of could fault myself for that with cooking. Like I just dreaded my kids, like baking and cooking with my kids. I'm not super awesome like cooking. Like I cook and I'm, you know, and I bake, but I don't love it, you know? And so the mess that is incurred by having children bake, you know, so I really admire people. My daughters both bake a lot with their kids, and I just admire it so much. They just kind of, you know, are just okay with that particular mess, and it gets cleaned up. It's not that big of a deal, right? You have a, you know, system. But for me, it was one of those things that I thought, oh, I just can't handle all that flour everywhere.
I'm the same way. I'll usually, like, I'll scoop the flour and we'll talk about the measurements, and then I hand it to them to put in the bowl.
Yes, you do your part. Yeah. And I love, like, I was really good friends with somebody who, when my girls, who are adults now, were young, their kids were, you know, teenage, you know, probably 10 to 15. And she just let them go to town. She said, as long as you clean up your mess, you can do anything you want.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that's amazing. And those kids could cook.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
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 That's,
Okay. But we all have our areas of control right now.
Right, right. And my thing is, I'm not great with letting my kids do, well, it's not even really crafts. If we get, you know, a delivery from Amazon, my son, my oldest, immediately wants to take the box and make something. And I wouldn't mind because, you know, he'll cut out little, you know, cardboard swords or make helmets or whatever.
Yeah.
But he doesn't clean up the mess. He leaves scissors where his siblings can reach. He, you know, leaves cardboard pieces all over. And so, you know, I've tried over and over. If you clean up your mess, if you clean up your mess, and he doesn't. And so now it's like, nope, you can only do it if your dad helps you.
But that's good. I mean, we have to have parameters like that around everything,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. because otherwise we would just be living in anarchy all the time. You
right.
know? So, I mean, that's not unreasonable.
Yeah.
The thing that would drive me nuts is if the kids played a game. And then they would leave it sitting out and then they would get out another game.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Right. You're going to the game closet. You may as well put that one away.
It's like, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good segue to the next question.
Okay.
So I've been trying to figure out what to do in terms of, I guess, punishment. In place of the carrot and stick. You know, what happens when you have a child that is really testing boundaries and really does not want to comply, you know, thinks for himself, you know, as kids grow, they get more and more defiant, I've heard and am experiencing. So what do you do instead of carrot and stick to kind of curb that, let's be frank, bad behavior?
Right. Okay. All right. So saying the next thing I'm going to say might shock some people, okay? But ultimately, we live in a non-punitive home. So we're actually quite strict parents, okay? I would say, you know, of the people we know, we would definitely be on the stricter end with our kids about what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. So the upshot of it all, though, is that, okay, I'm just going to sort of give you a scenario because it might be easier to understand. So you have a small child who is, you know, acting out, okay? So maybe they're, you know, trying to whack you. Maybe they're sneaking something that they know they're not allowed to have. Okay. You know, if you feel free to name off other sort of typical small child behaviors, when you're not in it, you sort of forget, right, what that's like.
I have one for you. What would you do? We have a rule in our house that we have a pretty long driveway. And so the kids like to ride scooters, ride their bikes. Well, especially if we're not outside, we don't want them to leave the backyard. So there's still a good stretch of driveway. And so the rule is you can't go past the house. Well, I'll be inside putting the baby down for a nap or, you know, cooking food. And I hear them in the front yard and so they've broken the rule and they do this over and over and over again. And, you know, I have, you know, taken away the scooter until the afternoon or something, you know?
Yeah.
But now, and I've explained to them why we have that rule. It's, you know, so your baby sister doesn't go or so that I can keep an eye on you or, you know, whatever it is. And they don't care.
They're doing it anyway. Is there a gate there?
There is not. And there's not enough room to put one.
Right. Okay. So just a couple of thoughts. First of all, you know, they're doing this thing that you don't want them to do. Right. And sometimes you can't enforce that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for the sake of safety, I would block that somehow. Mm-hmm. So it's impossible for them to get by. So, you know, I don't know what your situation is, but you know, whether it's putting up plywood or, you know, and it's just a matter of safety is, you know, we have to keep you guys in the backyard and you're not listening. And sometimes I can't, you know, I can't see you. So therefore this is how we have to handle this situation. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, or when I'm okay, so taking the scooters away is a reasonable response. Mm-hmm. Okay, if the scooters is the thing that's making them go into the front yard, then absolutely put the scooters away. you know, for the period of time or for, you know, situationally when you're having to be in the house or whatever, put the scooters away. That's not necessarily the same thing as a punishment. Sometimes it will look the same.
Okay.
So for example, if you said to them, if you used it as a threat, okay, mm-hmm. don't you dare do that or I'm going to put your scooter away. See, I told you, this is what happens when you disobey me, you put the scooter away. It's just matter of fact. Yeah. Scooters are going away because this isn't safe.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, we're going to put those scooters away. You put them away and they don't, you just don't even need to say any more about it. They're going to bring it up with you. Right. And so every time that comes up in conversation, we want to play with the scooters. Then you have an opportunity for formation, right? You know what? I love that you like your scooters. I love that you enjoy doing that. I want to see you getting that exercise, but I can't be taking that risk all the time. I just can't. Mm-hmm. And so the scooters will go away until I feel that you're old enough to actually listen and set a good example for your siblings. So you take the lecture, you take mm-hmm. the threat, you take the dangle out of it. Okay. So sometimes the result is going to look exactly the same. It's the way that it's administered.
Okay.
Right. Okay. It, that becomes the, you know, the difference between something being a carrot and stick and something being a, just a response to the situation, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times what we call natural consequences aren't very natural, right? So we have to actually think about what natural consequence means, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'll give you another example. Okay, say kids are getting ready for bed and they're dragging their feet and it's making you crazy because they're taking so long to get ready for bed and you end up, you know, bedtime's getting longer and longer. You know, if you were to say, okay, listen, your lights need to be out at 8:30. So if you're finished by 8 o'clock, we'll have time to read a story and, you know, have some, you know, time at bedtime together to do the things you like to do, but your lights have to be out at 8:30. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if they fart around and they don't get their stuff done and lights have to go out at 8:30, we could be, you know, from 8:15 on, we could be saying, I told you, if your stuff's not done, you're not going to get a story. We could hound them like that. Mm-hmm. Or we could say, you see, it's 8:30 and we don't have time to do all the things you want to do because you were farting around, blah, 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 blah. Or we could just say, yeah, that's too bad that we didn't have time for a story tonight, you know, but lights out now.
Yeah.
You know, and so it takes all the nattering, mm-hmm. Lecturing, threatening out of the situation.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes a lot of sense. So it isn't the carrot and stick is when you basically say, if you don't stop this, this is happening.
Yeah. But
if something continues to happen and you say, this is the consequence, I'm going to have to do A, B, or C, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, we have to be careful with that because of this whole idea of natural consequences. Is it actually natural? Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for example, the scooters are like, okay, well, obviously we either have to put a fence up here or we have to put the scooters away because this isn't a safe situation. You know, and you're going to resurrect that conversation occasionally. Well, they are probably, you know, that, mm-hmm. that we really want the scooters back. They might do it every week and you just have to say, I'm sorry. And they might have a big meltdown about it, mm-hmm. but you have to stick to your guns, right? No is no. You know, I would love you to have your scooters, but I need to know that you're responsible. Mm-hmm. And that's not, you know, we're not there yet, mm-hmm. you know, and it doesn't have to be a lecture and it doesn't have to be berating them, mm-hmm. you know, or threatening them or, you know, if you're good next week, maybe you'll get your scooter. Mm-hmm. You know, we just have to take all of that out of it and just respond in the way that seems, you know, seems the most correct,
right.
You know, the most, efficacious with the goal in mind being, how do I form this person? Mm-hmm. Right? How do I form this person right now? That's right. My goal.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's good to work with. Okay. Well then that's a good segue into this next question.
This is all working out quite well.
I planned it. So how do you help guide your children to good friendships? And the reason I'm asking that question is because we have several families in our neighborhood with kids around my children's age. And they're not setting the best example. And so on the one hand, I'm thinking, well, I want my kids to interact with other kids so they can kind of experience with the safety of my supervision and you know, my husband and I to be able to say, oh, that's not how we act, or this is what we say instead. But the problem is that they're around, you know, bossy neighbor kids who, and they don't know how to stand up for themselves.
Right.
You know? So they don't know how to say, oh, I actually don't want to play that game. And I think it's in part because they fear, oh, well, they'll just leave then. And they value interacting with somebody else over kind of what they want themselves. So I guess it's kind of a two-part question. How do you help guide your children to good friendships, you know, and wanting to be around kids that are, you know, good kids?
Yeah.
And also, how do you teach them to be able to think for themselves and have their own confidence that, you know, I'd rather, you know, kind of play games that I like. And even if that means a neighbor kid's going to go home.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think it's sort of a two-part answer as well. So first of all, I think it's really important to build community and to have friends that you and your husband are friends with. In an ideal world, you know, we have a small group. It doesn't have to be tons of people, but we have two or three families that we hang out with that have kids, you know, around the same age. And we are present to the dynamic most of the time. Okay. We see the dynamics that are happening. We see things unfolding. So that's part of it. And I'll get back to that in a moment. But the other part is that our input, you know, as we're there watching the things unfold, right? We can also give a lot of formation as things are unfolding, right? Mm-hmm. So ultimately, being in their lives, right, and being part of their friendships is a really important thing. And so it's one of the things that is hard when we live in a neighborhood, because we do have neighbor kids around. They're not always the kinds of kids that we want hanging around with their kids. So I would say, number one thing, have those kids at your house,
right,
as opposed to your kids getting there, right? Yep. So that you can be more present.
Right.
And we don't also
allow our kids in other neighbors' houses or yards.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's good. It's a really good start. And then if you're able to sort of debrief, like keep an ear open for what's going on, you know, of course you want them to be able to play independently, but if you can kind of be tuned in to what's going on, so that if, you know, if it's your kid too, that's making things go sideways, being, you know, a bully or being, you know, unkind or whatever, that you can step in and, you know, manage a situation before things, you know, get out of control. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that is our own kids. And that's always a very humbling experience when we know that it's our kid that's doing the thing. So involvement is really huge, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, if the kids are playing in the backyard, you don't necessarily want to be out there in the backyard. But if you know there's a consistent dynamic that happens with particular kids, we usually get a kind of a feel for that, right? Dynamic that happens. It's really important to debrief. Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe you have a consistent problem with that child. Mm-hmm. You know, say it's a neighbor kid. You have a consistent problem that child wants to do sneaky things. Okay. And you say,
that's literally our problem.
Okay. And if you say to your son, you know, do you want to be friends or do you want to be careful? You remember that book we read a couple of episodes ago, right? Do you want to be friends or do you want to be careful? That, you know, if we have an opportunity to say, you know, I've noticed a pattern that when so-and-so comes over, you know, we are, he's trying to get you to do things that, you know, we don't allow. Right. And so how can we manage that? You know, are you confident enough that you could say, hey, listen, you know, my parents won't allow that. Or if that, you know, and not every kid's going to be, you know, depends on the precociousness of the child, right? If you say, if they start doing something, you can just say, excuse me, and come and tell me, and then I can manage the situation better. You know, I have no problem. If somebody's kids are at my house, I'm not going to discipline them per se, but I'm absolutely going to say, that's unacceptable behavior at our house. So, you know, when you're at our house, you need to comply by our rules. I'm no problem saying that to other people's kids. Right.
See, and I'm a pushover. I have a hard time And it's not even about disciplining, but just laying down the law. Like,
yeah,
I start to sweat. I'm like, oh, I gotta go confront this kid.
Yeah. You
know? Like she'll come over. We have a rule. We don't want the kids playing in the garage.
Right.
She knows this. We've told her this before. And she will have my sons come in to open the garage because they need to, and in quotes, get something. And then, you know, I look out, you know, a few minutes later and I see they're all sitting in the garage playing.
Right.
And, you know, it just things like that, that it's just, she knows our rules and she breaks them anyway.
Right.
And,
okay.
You know, so it's just not setting a good example for my kids and.
Yeah.
And they don't stand up to her.
Yeah. And the other thing you could do is debrief that child when she comes to the house. Mm-hmm. Right. You know what? Come on in. We're going to just say this right off the bat. Okay. No going in the garage. No asking the kids to get something out of the garage. Mm-hmm. If there's something that needs to be gotten out of the garage, you must come to me. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I've had experience now a few times that you've wanted to go in the garage and my kids are having a hard time saying no. So you may not go in the garage. Okay. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, the kids can't play with you right now. Right.
Yeah.
So that, and that's just the reality of the situation. So, you know, and that does take some backbone for sure. And that's not easy, but in the long run, the relationship, you're going to appreciate having that child over and have the fun that they have together rather than cringing every time she comes over.
Yeah.
Right.
Cringe every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, oh God.
Yeah. So debriefing on both ends, debriefing with your kids, debriefing with her, just, you know, kind of right up front. Yeah. We don't do that here. So no.
Yeah. Yeah. It, I mean that it takes like a lot of prepping for me to be able, because I don't want to be that parent that, you know, the kids eye roll or talk about to my kids in a negative way, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
But
you can always do it nicely too. You know, I mean, we don't have to be mean.
Right.
It's just, but we have to be firm.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that in the long run, kids actually respect that, right? If you can handle something firmly and kindly,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they end up, you know, respecting that.
Right. I mean, one thing I do try to do is, you know, at least acknowledge her presence, you know, say, how are you? You know, how did you like the end of school? You know, all this kind of stuff. And usually I kind of get really negative answers like, school's boring. I don't like it. I just stopped, you know, participate or, you know, whatever she has to say. And it's like,
oh, we can become cynics at such young ages.
Yeah. Right. Aww. Right. So yeah, that's just been kind of a battle because I want my kids to be able to, you know, say, hey, I don't want to do that, you know, or you picked the game last time. Now it's my turn and you can stay or go, but you know,
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just, we need to read more books about inspiring, you know, courageous people or if this is more of a temperament type thing.
Yeah. And it may well be, but it also, you know, it's good formation to see, have them see you, you know, say, you know, hi, Susie, I love having you over. I'm so glad you came to play. We will not be playing in the garage today and you may not ask, right? You know what I mean? Like that's good for them to see that modeling too, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. All right.
How are we doing for questions?
Good. I've got another one.
Okay.
And yeah, so this is the last one that I have. So on Instagram the other day, you shared a link to your blog titled Do Something That Brings Joy. So for those moms that maybe are a little like me and who have spent years focusing on kids and sort of forgotten to pursue their own interests, what advice can you offer to help, you know, me, them, everyone find kind of what brings them joy? Because I personally feel like I'm just about mediocre at everything. And so I don't really know what to do. You know, like I'm okay at piano. I am not good at drawing, but I'm also not really passionate about it. So how do you pick something for you?
That's a great question. And things that bring you joy aren't always the things you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's maybe sort of one place to start. You know, do we have to have a hobby? Well, no, not necessarily. You know, for a long time, I think it's really important for moms to step back from their family a little bit, whether that's daily or weekly.
Yeah.
I've known many people who have done that many ways, sort of just taken a chance to get away themselves. Mm-hmm. So when my kids were young, I used to take 2 or 3 hours off on Saturday mornings, and I would just go out and do whatever I wanted to do by myself. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't really doing anything. I mean, I've always been a writer, right? So I do a lot of writing, but I, you know, in those days, writing was pretty hard to get to, right? It just the brain power to do something like that, or any hobby really was just a little more than I had. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I used to just go out and get my groceries by myself. You know, it was so enjoyable just to wander around the grocery store by myself, to go and, you know, go to the bookstore and just hang around the bookstore, take myself out for coffee, you know, maybe make my notes for the week of the things I wanted to accomplish that week or whatever, mm-hmm. or just read a good book. But just, it was way more important for me to have some space so that I could appreciate my family better. I know other people who say it's taken a half an hour a day instead of, you know, a few hours at a time, where, okay, I need to go out for a walk or a run, or I need to work in my garden, or have some time all by myself in my house. You know, you mm-hmm. take the kids out for a while, you know, that sort of thing. So I don't know if that's exactly what you're talking about, but I don't think enjoying ourselves, you know, finding something that gives us joy necessarily has to be a hobby.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just time to yourself, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You know, and in that time to yourself, maybe that's the time that you discover, oh, I forgot how much I loved reading. Mm-hmm. You know, or maybe you look forward to that date every once or twice a week, you know, with right. yourself, where you can just get, you know, read a few chapters of a really great book, mm-hmm. You know, or explore a museum near your house, or, you know, something mm-hmm. like that, right? Something that you might just sort of spark something in you to, okay, well, I really enjoy this right now in my life. That could change 10 years from now when your kids are bigger.
Right.
That could very well change.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that we need to spend some time with ourselves to know what it is that we find joyful, or maybe it's just doing nothing at all. Right. There's nothing wrong with doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, because I guess the reason I ask is, so I CrossFit. I love it.
Right.
An hour a day. It's, I love it so much. I would do it more in a day if I could, but there's just time.
Not enough time.
But
do you
even
go somewhere to do that?
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, right now, the gym isn't completely open back up. It's outdoor classes only. But yeah, I love it. And, but it's still, it's different than me time, right? Because this is for physical and mental health. And I do enjoy it and I love it, but it's almost not the same thing as, you know, taking like that quiet, fresh breath of a break.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I totally get that because fitness has become really important to me in the last, you know, year or two. But it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing as getting away and having my own time. It's for the sheer purpose of what it does for me. Right.
Right.
You know, and so, yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, can you tack on some me time into that? Or can you have one day a week where you go out for a couple of hours and maybe all you do is wander aimlessly, you know, or go to the beach and, you know, hang out there for a while or something, you know, so that you just give yourself time to just be, you know, and think through. A lot of times we're rushing through our lives so much that I think we're stressed out about everything because we never have time to just sift through, you know, how we feel about things, you know, and that alone time is, I think, such a great time for that. Just sort of sifting through, you know, what it is that's bugging you or what it is that's creating happiness in your life, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I realize more and more how much I do need to find something else for myself because we live in mid-ish Michigan. We don't have any family nearby.
Yeah.
We have a few friends, but, you know, they've got their families and their, you know, friends and So it's kind of, it feels a lot of like isolation.
And this last few months hasn't helped at all either.
Right. Right. And so, you know, it just kind of feels like me and my husband, and we don't get dates away, and you know, it's summer. So our kids just, they're internal clock or whatever is like 10 PM and 7 or 7:30 AM. And it's like, let me just say their bedtime is 7:30, but they stay up talking and goofing off until 9:30, 10.
Yeah, it's so hard when it's so light out, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. So, anyway. And I think we're living in extraordinary circumstances right now. You know, mm-hmm. COVID has changed everything. So even getting together with people, even if we met people, isn't an option, right?
Right.
You know, and I think that it's important though now, especially, you know, your kids are at a great age to start building your community of people. Mm-hmm. You know, if you put yourself out there, you'll probably find that there are people kind of in the same boat as you who, you know, have kids around the same age that, you know, you can sort of do interesting things with, even if they're only people you hang out with as a family.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe you and your husband wouldn't go out for dinner with them or something like that, but you can hang out as a family. Mm-hmm. That's really important, you know, building our social life and building our people that we it's important for us to have peers, right? Just our kids. We need to find good friendships for our kids. It's so important to find peers for ourselves as well.
Right.
You know? Right. And so hopefully in the next couple of months, as things move towards normal, you know, I've got a whole bunch of posts that I have on community and community building. And to me, one of the best things you could do is actually just put a post out on Facebook, you know, on, you know, your church Facebook page or website or whatever, you know, a little notice saying, I'm having a mom's get together. I'm having a family get together for Catholic families, you know, or neighborhood families, whatever, you know, whatever your bubble is. And, you know, would anyone be interested in a potluck? And we're going to go for a little walk in such and such neighborhood park.
Yeah.
You know, or go hang out at the beach, you know, because a lot of times people would do things if they had someone to do them with.
Right. Right.
Right.
I guess I personally fear rejection.
Right.
Like I've had experience in the past. Like I remember years ago, my husband, when he turned, I think it was for his 30th. No, it was 25. It was when he turned 25. I wanted to plan like a kind of surprise camping trip because he loves camping. I do okay. I don't like bugs. And so I thought this would be like the ultimate like gift because I'm doing something out of love for him. And so it was like a month or two before, it was like a month and a half before. And I sent out this email to friends and I said, hey, I want to do this for Tim this weekend. You know, who's free? And nobody responded. Nobody. And so it just kind of felt like, okay, you could at least say, I don't like camping or I'm not free this weekend, maybe the following weekend, but no, so, like, I feel like that's happened to us so many times and I don't know if it's just poor timing or if I'm just too much of a pushover and you know, so just feel it after, you know, that happens a couple times. I just kind of feel like, do I really want to put myself out there again for that?
Yeah. Kind of exactly. Yeah. And sometimes maybe putting yourselves out there for strangers and, you know, sense, you know, or people you don't know very well in your parish or something, is actually easier because you're not really people, you know, who are rejecting you. It's just like, we'd like to do that. Especially if you can sort of scout out, you know, families that seem to have kids around your kids' ages.
Yeah.
Right. And do you have a homeschool community?
Yes and no. We participated in a co-op, but it's about 40 minutes from our house.
Okay.
And I grew up driving, you know, two friends that like where I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and it's a big Catholic city. And the thing is that where did you go to high school is the big thing. Cause there are like six different Catholic high schools and it's, they're all girls, all boys schools, whatever. And so I was used to driving wherever to hang out with friends, you know, 25, 30 minutes. And then, but as I've grown and moved away from that big Catholic city to, you know, San Diego I've lived in and Michigan, people are almost less willing to go away from their, you know, small bubble.
Their bubble,
You know? Yeah. And so like my husband and I, we love hosting and having people visit, but it seems people are unwilling if it's 15 minutes or more away.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a really good book. I don't know if it's in print anymore, but I'm sure you could get it secondhand. There's a really good book called Only Heroic Catholic Families Will Survive. Okay. And some, there was a couple of essays in there that really had a big impact on us when we were sort of deciding, because we were kind of alone where we were. And the other book that's really good, that's a Catholic book too, but I think that anybody would probably get something out of it in terms of building your homeschool community. And it's called Haystack Full of Needles. Okay. And very much about building community and, you know, what we can do to set our lives up in such a way that we have strong friendships. We have a place for our children to build strong friendships and ourselves as well. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wrote it down. I'm going to look
it Okay, up. Good. Yeah. We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We should probably wrap up, hey?
Yeah.
Okay. So I will just encourage people to keep submitting questions to us. I may solicit some questions on my Facebook page, Make Joy Normal. You can also Instagram message me. What's it called on Instagram messaging?
DM.
Direct okay. Message. Okay. You can message me on Instagram. You can email me via my blog. You know, whatever way you want to get a hold of me, that's fine with me. Send us your questions. We've really been enjoying questions. We're sort of compiling them and presenting them more thematically. So your questions may get split up into different shows. And also I will be doing a class on how to write a paragraph on July 11th. It's a Saturday morning. It's morning for me. It would be early afternoon for Eastern time. And hopefully if there's people, the last class I did, I had a couple of people from the UK who were interested. And so morning class makes it possible for most time zones to participate. So I have a blog post about that. I'll put that in the show notes as well. If people want to sign up, that would be great. The primary idea behind it is how to really get started in the basics of how to write a paragraph, because a paragraph is the building block of every other variety of writing other than poetry, obviously. So how do we accomplish that with grace and not butting heads too hard? So thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.